We have one of our fathers in the house that will be taking us on this journey. And if you look at the program in your hand, he's talking actually about program, the why, and other stuff around it. No other person than Pastor Abraham A.K. Buffet to take us in that direction. Can we celebrate Jesus? Please, you can do better. You can do better.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. One more time, shall we celebrate God's servant for... I am sure you can do better than that. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to thank God for the privilege to stand before us this morning to discuss this wonderful topic, impact-driven programs. We give God all the glory. We do not take for granted the privilege and the opportunity to be part of what God is doing in the now and in our great mission. To him alone be all the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to appreciate, please join me to appreciate the director of the youth ministry, Pastor Peter. Thank God for what God is doing through you. His passion, his commitment for the mission is very contagious, and I know that God indeed will answer all your heart desire for the youth fellowship in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to appreciate all the leaders at various levels, regional levels, DCC, district, and the likes. And I want to appreciate all of you for showing up in this program. And I know that even as you go back, as you have been empowered, you will show forth and influence everyone under your leadership in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm very happy that I'm coming right after that session, because if it was to be after my session, most likely you may be tempted to set aside the things you're going to be hearing now. Power without control will lead to a lot of disaster and danger. So this session, I'm going to just hit the high points, because I know we're managing time, and we've also took some time by the move of the Spirit of God to do that which I've just done. Having been around here for quite a while, there is no doubt that this is a commission ordained and ordered by God. But over the years, there seemed to be a loss of that connection, and therefore that impact and that influence. Look after now, and then there is no really difference then. Maybe there is really no need for God to keep investing. But I know your story will be different in the name of Jesus Christ. So I want to talk about, how do you package this grace? Because packaging is very important. Packaging is very important. How do you package this grace that you have received, and being able to go back and look at your programs again and begin to look at those programs from the standpoint of packaging them, curating them in such a way that it hits the target. If you shoot an arrow, before you shoot an arrow, you actually have to look at the target first. And then you keep your eyes on the ball. I think it was a story of Barack Obama many years ago, and one of the former presidents, they went to play golf. How many of us know the game of golf, right? Okay, a lot of us know it. And so they told him to play golf, and he said, and the target was there, and there are a lot of, you know, trees. And he said, play the golf and then just hit the hole. And he said, no, I can't, because there's a lot of trees around. And the one who was a professional golfer told him, he said, if you keep your eyes on the target, you won't see those trees. But as long as he kept looking at all those trees, he actually hit the ball. And guess where the ball went? The ball went to meet one of those trees. But he came on the same spot with the same target, fixed his eyes on the hole, and then swing the whatever. And then before you know it, the ball went right in, almost entering the hole. So when power is not directed specifically, then at the end of the day, it is like you disperse it abroad, it make the impact, but then you cannot be able to specifically gather and say, this is exactly what has happened. That's point number one. The second point, Pastor Ojo Yemade was speaking sometime in November at a program that was held in Abuja, the General Summit. Some of you, General Assembly, some of you probably must have heard about the program. And he made a comment just in passing, but I had to listen to it a couple of times to get the impact of what he was saying. And he made a very, very distinct statement, but I think he rushed through it in passing. And he said, the smaller churches, the churches of 100, 200 people, are the ones actually doing the evangelism, so winning. But then he said what happened is that the smaller churches are now becoming like a nursery, right? You know what a nursery is, right? Yeah, so you put the plant there, you midwife them, controlled temperature, pressure, and after you are done, you take them, and then you go plant them in the field. So the smaller churches, after a while, they lose their membership to the larger churches. And this is data-proving fact, not sentiment. And he made a comment and said, the reason why that happened is because most smaller churches have not been able to have failed the skill to package program in such a way that you have sustainable impact. Not a flash, and then it goes. Because the truth of the matter is that if your altar is not predictable, then people will not come in a sustainable way. Your altar has to be predictable. I can call some names now, but at the risk of sounding a bit off, there are places, if I mention now, that you know what to get and who you probably are going to meet on the altar when you go for that program and when you go to that place. Consistently over the years. So over time, it's easy for you to carry somebody and say, Sister Faith, follow me. I want you to attend the program. And you say it with every amount of boldness, not necessarily sponsored by the Holy Spirit, but because you know that that program over the years has been able to earn the reputation of delivering again and again and again and again, almost as if they actually write a script and give to the Holy Spirit, this is the way we want it to go. So, as we have been empowered, I want us to pay attention to some of these things, and I know that God will grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me at this point very quickly, before I forget, acknowledge Pastor Along for me, the immediate past regional coordinator for Akinyele region. We're supposed to be doing this together, but unavoidably, it's not here. Actually, most of the content you have in the manner that you have, he actually wrote that, I think 99.9%. The 1% I had on top of what he was just to say, this is great to go, send it. Glory to Jesus Christ. When somebody has made your life easy, don't make it complicated for yourself. Amen. So please, let's celebrate Pastor Lord Kwame for putting that together. Glory to Jesus Christ. So I'm just here to present on our behalf, and I know that God will grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Minister to us by yourself. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Programs, impact different programs. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33 and also verse 40, Paul the Apostle was speaking and he said, let all things be done decently and in order. Decently. The presence of the Holy Spirit is not the beginning of confusion, but of order. Are we together? Absolutely important, because there are some things we need to correct as God is moving us into another phase of the mandate upon this mission. So interestingly, that statement came towards the end of his presentation on the matters of the Spirit of God. Are we together? He said, concerning the things of the Spirit, I will not want you to be ignorant. 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 1, and then verse 13, and then verse 14. And when he was rounding up, he made that statement, let all things be done decently and in order. When you read that from the New Living Translation, it said, be sure that everything is done properly and in order. Take it away from this program. The presence of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit, the breaking in of the Holy Spirit does not introduce confusion. It does not introduce disorderliness. He said, be sure. And before I made that comment, if you back up some verses in that chapter, he said, the spirit of the prophet is what? A subject to the prophet. Glory to Jesus Christ. So impart different programs, they are programmed. They are not, you just come and say, I want the Holy Spirit lead us. If you do that, you are setting up yourself for disorder. And the glory of God is not maximized or optimized in disorderliness. Now, at the foundation of impact-driven program is preparation. What did I say? Are you with me so far? So, at the foundation of impact-driven program is preparation. Most of the time, when you see people talk about... I'm picking my words because I understand our foundation and our heritage as Christ Wesley Church. And I'm not from outside. I'm from inside of here. So I understand it. But this is the point, right? Don't cover lack of preparation and put the blame on the Holy Spirit. If it's a one-hour program, it can actually be a one-hour program because the Holy Spirit also respects timing. So at the foundation of impact-driven program is preparation. Our father said, if I have not spent time in his presence, I do not have the permission to represent him in the open. And that's preparation. That's preparation. So many years ago, I mean, of you still remember the legendary voice of someone like Don Moyne, right? Did I pronounce it well? I mean, of you remember many years ago. So, you know, those were the, when it comes to gospel music, those were the early fathers. And then I was privileged to be somewhere, and I saw the preparation for most of his live presentation. Are we together? Everything that you see in those videos, everything from the beginning to the end, the way that other man will carry the guitar and, you know, turn upside down, raise his leg, everything was rehearsed. Everything. So, at the foundation of impact-driven program is adequate, deep preparation. The moment that is lacking, impact will become very minimal. Impact will become very minimal. So, when we're talking about programs, you must start from that foundation. And that's why, as we go through this, we don't just look at three things very quickly. The why, the what, and the how. In other words, why are you doing it, right? And then, what exactly are you going to do? And then, how do you want to go about it? In other words, what exactly is the reason? I run a series with... We have a program going on in the church. We call it the Pastor's Leadership Retreat. And we'll be training all the cadres of leaders in the church. And at the moment, we're still dealing with most of the district superintendents. And some of us have entered that program. So one of the modules I take in that program is what we call the purpose-driven church. The purpose-driven church. And it's actually important. You know, one of the things we need to have at the back of our mind is that the church is very routine in nature, right? So what do I mean? Today is what? Today is Friday. How many of us know what will happen on Sunday morning? All right? In your church, you know what will happen on Sunday morning? You have the program in your head. Are we together? You can run that program without looking at any schedule. You already know when the message will come in, when the choir will sing, when we'll collect offering, when we'll make announcements. So week on week, you can actually sit down and write on a piece of paper the program in your church from January to December. You can write it. So it's very routine in nature. So if you do not always ask yourself the question why, routine as a way of taking out the life of impact from your program. Absolutely very important. So you must always ask the question why. Now, how many of us here are ordained pastors, pastoring a church? How many of us here? Quite a number of us, a lot of us. Now, the question is this. How many of you have asked yourself the question, why am I going to church on Sunday? This Sunday, February the 1st. Why? It will amaze you that many of us have not asked that question. So when you hear men of God come and say, when I was praying for this program, the Holy Ghost told me this. It's in the place of trying to find out this program, this Sunday service, regular Sunday service. Why? Because that's actually where you begin to get the significance of that gathering. He said, I have not asked the children of Israel to do what? To seek me in vain. It becomes vain when you rely on the routine and not think about the impact. When you rely on the routine and not think about impact, then it becomes vain. So let's talk about the why. Let's talk about the why a little bit. Because not being very clear about the why points to the fact that most likely you're just going to follow the norm, follow the routine. And before you know it, you go, you come back, and guess what? You say, well, maybe just one of those days, the Holy Spirit is not at work. No. Every gathering, he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, what is happening there is there. So if nothing is happening, it means that the vessels who are involved are not really ready for it. I'm going to read some scriptures very quickly. You can open with me or just listen as I read them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 1 to 5, but I'll just pick verse 4 and verse 5. Paul the Apostle was the one speaking there, and I'm reading from New Living Translation. He said, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so that you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. So Paul the Apostle was saying, my preaching has a target. And the target of my preaching is that at the end of the day, your trust, your faith in God is not in human wisdom, but what? But in the power of God. So when Paul the Apostle come in, when he's teaching, he has a target. When he's organizing a crusade, he has a target. When he's doing a seminar, he has a target. It's very clear what he wants to do. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. When he was talking to the Romans, he said, for I long to see you. I long to come to minister to you. Why? That I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be what? You may be established. You may be established. Glory to Jesus Christ. When you read that same passage from New Living Translation, he said, I long to visit you so that I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. So the visit has a purpose. The visit is that when I come, there are some spiritual gifts that I, by observation, by relationship with you, I know something is missing. When I come, I'm going to impart that spiritual gift so that you may what? You may grow strong in the Lord. This is what drives programming, the purpose. The purpose. Why the program? Why the program? I have observed some things. I have observed some lapses. I have observed some ignorance. I've observed some trend and some patterns. We need to address it. How do we address it? What do we package together to address it? It starts from there. That's the foundation. Programs are not meant to prove the depth of knowledge or the vastness of the experience of the leader, right? In simple terms, programs are designed to meet needs. That's basically what I'm saying. Look at the people that God has put under your leadership. What are you seeing? What gaps are you seeing? What is the next thing for this group of people? And this needs, like we have it in the manual there, could be felt needs or could be real needs. But whatever it is, let your program, your programming, your event, so that it doesn't, the routine does not steal the relevance. Make sure that you always ask yourself the program, what need is this program addressing? What need is it addressing? What impact am I believing God for this program? You must have that at the back of your mind. Because if you don't, then you just do the routine and it will all go just like that. So the first question to ask before thinking about or planning a program is the why question. The necessity of the program is more important than the name or the nomenclature of the program. Because every other thing will be driven by this question. Why are we doing this program? If you know the why, it will answer every other thing. Where are we going to hold the program? Who are we going to invite? Who is going to lead the prayer? Who is going to do this? Because you see, everything about a program is not just the event. Every time that somebody is ministering a program, it's not just teaching, it's also imparting. And it is what you have that you do what? That you give. So every program must fundamentally address the core purposes of the church. What's the purpose of the church? Five purposes that we see in the Bible. Number one is worship. Number two is fellowship. Number three is evangelism. Number four is ministry. And finally, discipleship. These five purposes of the church must be addressed by your programming. Now, whenever I teach this among leaders of the church, I normally ask that question. How many of us, okay, is there in the manual? Somebody can open, read the vision of the church. I think it's on page 2 or page 3. Can we read that out loud? Every one of us, very quickly. One, two, go. Soul winning, yes. Or the word. Now, mission statement. Mission statement. Yes. Yes. Amen. So in the mission statement, what three things do you see there? Number one. No. On the mission statement, number one is what? In-depth what? In-depth what? Number two? Number three? Okay. So let's be very honest with ourselves. On a scale of 0 to 100%, score those 3 points as far as CAC is concerned. Which one is number one? Number one is what? All right. Do we all agree to that? Every one of us agree to that. Number two is what? No, so it is in the vision. That's the overarching vision. What's the second one? What's the third one? Okay, so in that order. Now, if you are to split them 100% across the three, what percentage would you give to prevailing prayers? Number one. I hear 90, I hear 70, I hear 100, I hear 80. Okay, I've not heard anything below 70. So that means 7 out of 10 times we are doing prevailing prayers or we are praying prevailingly, right? There's any English like that. So it means that we are left with about 30% to do what? To do in-depth study of the Word of God. Not just study of the Word of God, but in-depth. And then number three, spiritual worship. So, does that look balanced to you? It's not. But that's what we do. And we do that because, you know, thank God for the reawakening of taking us back to our foundation by the current president that you are addressing. And don't take the first answer. In the industry where I work, they call it the 5-why principle. You must ask why 5 times to get to the root of it. You must ask why 5 times. Why do you want to do this program? We just think that people need to be on fire. Why should people be on fire? Ask them that question. Yeah, we want people to carry the anointing. Why do you want people to carry the anointing? When you are done, you may be amazed that the real reason is because, you know, so many years ago, when my father was a pastor, when he was still pastoring in the city of Jos, many years ago, you know, those are the days that pastor's conference would go for almost a week, right? And then at the tail end of it, we'll have the convention. How many of you remember that, right? So many years ago. So they typically, because they were coming from the north, they will leave on a Sunday and they most likely come back on Saturday or Sunday. So a whole week is gone and all the pastors have to go. So you are left with the evangelists. So this one, they left very early in the morning on Sunday morning. So immediately they left, the church was left with the evangelists. And he came and said, I had a dream. That dream is very fearful. I had a dream. So because of that dream, we're going to start 7 days revival. And then we started. On Monday, I have a dream. That dream is very scary. Do you know that to date, that dream was never told us?
The program went on, and we collected offering every day. So, of course, I was there. I wasn't a pastor then, so I was at home. So when my father came, I said, how are you people doing? I said, we had a very busy time. We're going to church every evening. Oh, really? Every evening? Yes, we're going to church every evening. We had a revival and everything. So my father said, okay, that's good. And then he called the evangelist. How are you? I understand the program. Said, yeah, the program was great, this, that, and everything. Of course, when you finish telling all those stories, you must bring the offering to the apostles' feet, right? So offering never came. It never came. And the rest, as they say, is what? Is history. Glory to Jesus Christ. So the real reason, are we together? The real reason for that program was the offering. So the moment you get the why right, then you are set for the next question. What am I going to do? All right. You know, many years ago in our church, when we talk about retreats, the next thing that comes to your mind is Orioke, right? We're going to the mountain. We can't do this kind of teaching on a mountaintop. Yeah, we can stress ourselves and do it, but when you're on a mountain, for example, your mindset is more towards prayer. Are we together? So you can't say you want to do an empowerment program. You want to do a seminar on how to prepare yourself to get a good job, and then we'll go to the mountaintop. So the moment you know the why, it now drives the what, right? Matthew 28 and verse 19. It said, therefore, go and make disciples. Not just believers, not just Christians. Getting somebody born again is not the end. It's actually what? The beginning. It's the beginning. It's not the end. It's the where you present your body, and by the press of doing, that's what we call transformation. So you now begin to allow the Spirit of God that you have received and the supply of the Word of God, and then you begin to use that to begin to work on your life. And you know that this has to go out, this has to come in, this has to go out, this has to change. And that's why he told us, he was talking to believers there, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren. In other words, brothers and sisters. He was talking to believers. He wasn't talking to unbelievers. So, Hebrews chapter 5, 12 to 14, he said, look, at some point you ought to be teachers, and yet you are still waiting to be fed again and again. It means that the writer of the book of Hebrews was saying there is some process that you ought to have gone through that will make you to become a teacher. In other words, mature in the faith. People don't just mature. Time does not mature anything. Am I talking to somebody? Time doesn't mature anything. So if you all you do is that somebody come attend church, and over time you hope that it will grow. It will not grow. Maturity is a product of investment. And that's what the word addresses. So the moment you know that, okay, people are not growing, then what do? I read one more passage again. Very powerful scripture that I always want to put before leaders and those who have been privileged to serve the purposes of God within the fivefold ministry and even beyond. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. He said, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now verse 7, look at it. Let's look at it together. It says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been. Okay, so many people are not looking at the Bible. Amen. As you have been what? As you have been taught, right? As you have been taught. Very powerful. So you see, that simple phrase there is the core point of that passage. As you have been taught. As you have been taught. As you have been taught. when the teaching is lacking, sustainability is short-lived. When the teaching is lacking. So, see, whether you believe it or not, you've been empowered this morning. I don't care about what happened a few days ago, whatever, but with the experience this morning, talking with the director, grace has come upon you. What will sustain that grace? That it does not fizzle, because you see, in this kingdom, it is layer upon layer. Are we together? But if you do not sustain the knowledge to retain the last encounter you have, when the next one is coming, it goes back again to the foundation. No, how do you build a house? You do the foundation one block upon the other. A little here, a little, that's what the Bible says. Precept upon what? Upon precept. No, but if the last precept I have, I do not have a system to sustain it, the next one coming will meet nothing. So every time I meet you, that's not your portion in the name of Jesus Christ, but every time I meet that person, I still have to start from the foundation because I did not meet the last precept. It wasn't sustained. It wasn't sustained. So, once you answer that question why, then you go into the what. What am I going to do? Oh, I have a lot of people in my locality that are now Christians. So we're going to do an outreach. And this outreach is for soul winning. Now, you do the soul winning over a period of time. People have come into the church. And then you see them. They come into the church. You know, an area boy is still an area boy after giving his whole life to Christ. How many of you know that? Yeah, that's it. If you try to change their language without teaching them, you are giving birth to hypocrisy and pretense. So you begin to now package program that begin to introduce them to discipleship and maturity in the faith. Then, so the moment you see, so I want to address the fact that a lot of the marriages in our assembly are having challenges. You know, couple A came, couple C came, couple Y came. I'm like, okay, there's a pattern here. Okay, so let's put a program together. What did you see? And then you ask some questions. You now know there is a need. Now let's go for a couples retreat. And this retreat, because you want to make sure that everybody comes, there's a way you package it. That's the what. And then you now begin to ask yourself, what do I need to address? Who is best placed to address this? Now let me pause here and really address this because it's one of the fundamental issues that we are grappling with as a church. There is no one person that can teach everything. There is no one pastor that can teach everything. Absolutely important. You need to know the area that God has graced you and empowered you. Absolutely important. It is not out of place. You know, I mean, when we had this prayer session, pastor finished, and then the director came, and it comes some few people. Listen, it's just a regard to the position we occupy. It could have been any of you to come and impact. Are we together? You see, and that's why I love what Pastor Imode said. He said, is it title without something or whatever? It's just nothing without mantle, right? Are we together? So this is the point. If you are not, because now all of a sudden, all pastors are turning to marriage counselors. I understand that point, but we are not equally graced in that area. Can we be humble enough to recognize that Pastor Matthew seated here has a calling, has a mantle to be able to restore orderliness in marriages? So I found out that I have challenges in my ministry, in my local church, and I'm humble enough to call him and say, please come and do a 2-3 days program in our assembly and then address this need. And when you are coming, Pastor Matthew, I hope there's nobody calling Pastor Matthew. I'm just using. Now, and when you are coming, okay, Pastor Abraham, when you are coming as Pastor Abraham, don't come with this larger than life attitude. No, it doesn't. It's just an acknowledgement of the grace of God upon your life. It doesn't make you better. It doesn't make you smaller. Are we together? It doesn't take away anything from you. We must learn to recognize that bit. that there is a Pastor Peter somewhere that can address this issue. And then I make an investment on him to say, please come all the way from Ibadan to Jos and help us address. And we are placing a demand upon the grace of God upon your life to address this issue. It doesn't mean that you cannot counsel your people, but when you find out that there's a pattern, because the presence of that pattern is also a reflection of the fact that there is a grace that you are lacking as a shepherd. You see, we must learn to give ourselves feedback as leaders. You know, say people are not coming to our church because it is in a remote area. The road is bad. There is mountain. There is valley. You will cross river or whatever it is. Where the grass is green. Are we together? Complete it. Now, why are you afraid to complete it? So that's it. Learn to give yourself that feedback as a leader. So if you find out that, there is a pattern. People are having this issue. People get married, they are not giving birth. 2 years ago, got married, they are still waiting. 5 years ago, they are still waiting. 7 years ago, they are still waiting. And you have been their pastor for that long. It doesn't mean that you are not anointed. There is a grace that is lacking. So you can go out there and talking with people and say, there is a pastor this that carries that grace. And then you invite him for a program. And then you package that program and then he releases that grace and then you continue from there. Why gives birth to the what? This is what we're going to do. We're going to have a seminar. I can see a pattern that practically towards the end of the month, most of the men are struggling to make ends meet. And they are falling back on the church. Pastor, is there something for us? Pastor, you know, this and that. You have seen that pattern. There are some patterns or needs that are not, that you cannot address through a revival kind of program. That you need a seminar. And then you invite a brother in the church. He is not a leader, he's not an elder, he's not a pastor, but this person has been able to invest in the knowledge of financial management. Can we be open enough to say, brother, please, can you come? We're going to have a 3 days program and we're going to have it in a seminar-like setting to address this issue. Acts chapter 6, the apostle saw that there was a pattern was coming up. These apostles, anointing everywhere, their shadow was healing people, were falling under the anointing. But then there was a noise that was coming up. What is the noise? The food is not enough. It's not getting to raw. So the Gentiles are now preferring their people against the Hebrew. And so immediately they attended to it. They saw a pattern and then they put a structure behind it. Before this thing would take away the life of the ministry, let us take this noise away. And they put a structure. Let us appoint people. And if you read that chapter of the Bible, the moment they appoint those deacons, the next thing that happened was that the church did what? Multiplied. So that noise had the power and the tendency to have plateaued the growth of that particular move until they addressed that program. So, it's very important. So, we see even the life of Jesus, examples are there. So, sometimes you package a preaching and a teaching program. Sometimes it's a prayer program. Not every time that should be prayer. Not every time. Not every time. Not every time. And remind yourself again, every program must have a prayer content. Am I talking to somebody? It must have a prayer content. It must have a prayer content. But it could be fully focused on that. There are time to have a praise program. A praise program, right? There are time to have a drama program. And please, if you are in these ministries, don't let us belittle any ministry against the other. Are we together? You know, many years ago, it has been corrected now. They say, you know, the program is going to be powerful. And then they will now say, side attraction. How many of you remember that, right? Side attraction, drama, and then worship. It's not a side attraction. It's a main what attraction. Are we together? That's it. So, and then you can have those things, and then we pull all that together. When we do this and we serve all the various needs, then we are raising disciples indeed, who are getting matured by the day. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to Jesus Christ. So, in the what, focus on the five purposes of the church, focus on maturity, focus on growing the people, focus on establishing them in the faith, focus on making them disciples indeed, focus on the opportunity to exercise the grace of God upon your life. Every grace that is not exercised, you take the risk of losing that grace. Are we together? You take the risk of losing that grace if you do not exercise them. Now, let me quickly talk about the how. Right? So, we talk about the why, the what, and then we talk about the how. We talk about the sequence, the programming proper. So, you have decided that, okay, we're going to address this need, and therefore, we're going to do this program for 3 days, for 7 days, for 1 week, for 7 Sundays, for 3 months, you know, so on and so forth. Could be a morning program because the people you're targeting, I don't know. So, now we come into the program proper. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, Paul the Apostle was speaking there. He said, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. He said, let all things be done for what? For edification. Let all things be done for edification. At chapter 11 and verse number 4, Peter was speaking there. He said, but Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning. In order from the beginning. So this how is where organizational skills are needed in leadership. All right? Your ability to organize, all right? Programs are not just successful. They need both hard work and smart work in the following areas that is listed there in your manual. The choice of the theme and the topic, all right? Revival. Christ Apostolic Church, okay, Ayo, present 3 days revival. Come and you will be blessed. Date, time, venue. You have not created any expectation. What is that revival meant to address? Must it be called revival? No, it doesn't have to be called revival. You have not created any expectation. What is the theme of the month? What is the focus of the Sunday service? Create that expectation. Choose a theme or a topic that is captivating, that is exciting.
I am going to work. I'm going to spend a lot of time teaching. Therefore, I will tell the person taking the prayer session, for this Sunday, we used to pray for 30 minutes, but for this Sunday, you're going to pray for 15 minutes. I will go to the chorister and say, because of what God wants us to emphasize this Sunday, for this Sunday, you used to minister for 30 minutes, praise worship. But for this one, you're going to minister for 20 minutes. You've collected 10 minutes there, collected 15 minutes there, had it to a regular time, and then you have enough time. Are we together? So, work on the order of the service. What comes before what? Absolutely important. You know, it's some years ago, we would do the preaching in some of our CNC churches early in the program, and then we would now start with the offering, right? And then we call the offering, call that Thanksgiving, and then by the time people are leaving the church, all right, they've forgotten the message. It's completely gone. So we won't leave the church. Then, after a while, some people now flip it the other way. Okay, let's do all those things, right? So we do the announcement, we take the offering, we do the Thanksgiving, Sister A Thanksgiving, Brother B Thanksgiving, Men's Thanksgiving, this one, and then we dance, and praise God. And then when you start the message, people are doing what? So look at the order. If you have a lot of elderly people in your garden, it's not the same way you're going to order the program if you have a lot of young people. So now we're talking about the youth fellowship, right? So when you have that program, be mindful of time. Look at the order of the service. Optimize it in the order of the service. If you do not have an optimized order, I can bet you are going to mess up the time. If you are inviting guests, make adequate preparation. Make adequate preparation. Make adequate preparation. And please let me tell you a bit more. Make adequate preparation.
Make adequate preparation.
We have been invited to programs before. We'll come, we'll be looking for where to work. And they know that. In fact, there was one I went to that was invited for me. And then the person came to me and said, "Hello, sir, you're welcome. Are you the guest?" I said, "Yes, I said, I'm the guest." I said, "Look for somewhere to work. Look for somewhere." I'm serious. I told my business. He said, "Look for somewhere to work." Now, I on my own, I looked and eventually I worked. 5 minutes later, they came to call me, that place of work is not going to come and repair. And so, you know, but it's our church, and I agree, that's not good enough. Are we together? That's not good enough. So if you are inviting guests, make adequate preparation. Have people ready. There are things we need to learn. There are things we need to learn. There was a time I was in a program and I was opportunity to come with one of the leaders of the church right here, and then we came for the program, and then they were going to serve food. The food was brought with a recycled what's it called now, takeaway. How do I know it's recycled? Because the cover that was on it was not the appropriate cover, so it was partially open. And I told them, I said, "Take this food away. This is not right." And they brought it, put it in a black nylon bag, and they were bringing. I said, "Who is this food for?" He said, "This man, you want to give this man this food?" That's wrong. Absolutely wrong. You must. Amen.
Amen.
Manage the time. Time. Time management. Time management. Amen.
Amen.
Whether you like it or not, the days of 6 hours on Sunday, 8 hours on Sunday, 5 hours on Sunday is gone. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
I know some of you will not agree with me, but thank God I'm the one who did it like me, right? The days of youth fellowship being known for vigils on weekdays. Vigils on weekdays. Monday night, 11 p.m.
Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Young people, manage the time. Are we together? Manage the time. Have a way for feedback. After every program, even if you are not trained out a phone to get feedback, call one or two people and say, "Let's sit down, let's have a conversation. How did the program go?" But guess what? If you do not have a why at the beginning, you cannot have a proper feedback at the end. Are we together? It is the why that you now say, "We set out to achieve these three objectives. Have we achieved it?" So you must have a feedback mechanism, logistics, protocols, we've talked about that already, and then the finance of the program. The finance of the program. There is a place of faith, but faith does not negate planning. Are we together? In fact, proper planning is an expression of faith. Proper planning is an expression of faith. So the fact that let's just start. The Holy Ghost will guide us. It's an excuse for not having the skill to plan. And not being humble enough to say, "There is a brother in our fellowship that knows how to put this together. Let me call him." Are we together? Absolutely important. There's some people, if I want to have a program, I'll just call him. "Please, I have this program." And the next thing you will get is a package. And in that package is a PowerPoint slide. Neatly arrange. And then you say, "Pastor, this one, you fill it in. This one, put it. This one, put it." And that's it. And then you put it together. That's a grace. So, you know, plan the program from beginning, end to end. End to end. When the guests come, how will he live? What are we going to give to the guests? How do we harness the result from this program? When you make an altar call in the program, who is going to attend to them? Where will they be attended to? Not that, okay, the anointing just move. And they will make an altar call. And I say, hey, Brother Timothy, Sister Faith, oh yeah, go and meet them. The person that say go and meet them, they don't even know what they are going to say. They come and say, hey, okay, you know, you're giving your life to Christ, congratulations. Oh yeah, write your name, write your address, say, God bless you, bye-bye, go and sit down. He wasn't prepared for it. So all those programs, all those parts, we must prepare for them. So now let's bring it home very quickly because I know we lost some time, but I'm still trying to keep it within the time. So let's bring it home. So if you go to your program, right after this particular program, let me get the page for us. Okay, page what? 27. When you go to page 27, you will see KPIs, and the director is going to speak on that very quickly. So this is the point. If we want a new wave of the grace of God upon our mission, like the man of God told us, and this is absolutely true, most of the time, I'm putting a lecture series together for another training program we're going to start very soon. And one of the things I found out when I was doing the research is that most of the time, the new move of God is always midwifed by the younger generation. Are we together? When God wants to make a new move, it starts with the younger generation. And they carry that fire and they move on with it. So, if we're believing God for the CAC of our dreams, there are things we need to become intentional about. We need to become intentional about it. And those things are listed as KPIs to which we will hold ourselves. So, as a regional coordinator, as a DCC youth leader, as a district leader, as an assembly leader, there are things we need to use to hold our conversation. Not just, you know, and this has also been done even at the level of our fathers in the Lord, the regional superintendent, the district superintendent, they all have almost a similar KPI. The days of just pastoring without a target, without an objective is gone. Nobody runs an organization like that. No. I can name a church for you now, and you would understand what I'm talking about. Now, when you enter their campground, almost everywhere they paste it. All right? We're going to have, is it 30 million by 2030 or something? That's the target for everybody. So the question is, as a leader, when you are celebrated, the new regional coordinator for that region is Pastor Abraham. Everybody will celebrate you. Congratulations, congratulations, congratulations. When you are done with all those ceremonies and the ceremonials, this is the scorecard. That's the scorecard. How many souls are being saved? How many churches are we planting? Because whether you like it or not, we have checked out of church planting. And we have left it with the people that we call church planters. We have checked out of evangelism. We replace it with revival. Unbelievers don't come for revival. What is your target for evangelism? So, in our local church, we run evangelism for a while. So, we are going to have a strategy session in the next 2 weeks. We want to change the way we do evangelism. That's the truth. Megaphone, enter the streets, is good. The times have changed. Because even the person sitting beside you, inside the bus, those days, you can say, oh yeah, hear the word of the Lord. But now, inside the bus, if you are in Lagos, they will put one, what they call those things, earpod, right? Cover ear. If you like, be shouting. They are not hearing you. They are listening to what they are listening to. So, the modes have changed. Town crying on the streets is great, is glorious. But the impact has changed. What are you doing about maturing the believers under your care? Are you seeing transformation? Are you seeing transformation? You know, so when we have meeting with pastors most of the time, we do the training. We always ask the question, what are your challenges? What is your most significant challenge? In fact, almost in a chorus way, they will answer, elders. Amen. Yeah, elders and all this, elders and that. So the question we always ask is that, who made these people elders? Now, who appoints elders? The president of the church? So when you do not invest on maturing people, you will now use anniversary to mature people. You know what you call anniversary? It's, this brother has been in the church for 20 years. We think he should be an elder. So you are using 20 years. But when you talk about the fruit of discipleship and maturity, it's not there. Now, when you bring that man and give him a position of authority, the next pastor coming will do what? Will suffer the consequence. God is counting on you and me to have structured process to mature believers. Is your altar servicing transformation in the life of the people listening to you? Is your altar servicing discipleship? If I gather your messages on the platform of the youth fellowship that you have been called to lead over the past 3 years, can it actually transform an unbeliever to become a disciple and keep growing unto maturity? Empowerment programs. Yes, we have this, we have that. What are we doing about them? So when you look at this KPI, you see a whole lot of things. And I don't want to steal the things that the director is going to be speaking about, but this is to prepare our mind for that. When you look at your registration card at the back, it's also going to talk about this as well. You will see that the days of just running it like that, no, it's not good enough. It's targeted. When Paul was going on his missionary journey, he knew where he was going. He knew where he was going. And he understands how he's going to do it when he gets there. So as you take on this leadership mandate, at the bottom of it, there must be impact. There must be impact. Leave your footprint in the sand of time. 3 years, 4 years, 5 years is enough time. Listen, if it's only two people that God help you to ignite the fire in them, I can tell you, we may tell you that you have not tried, but God, who sees the sincerity of your effort, will know that indeed you have raised a generation, and God indeed will honor it in the name of Jesus Christ. Personal development programs, empowerment programs, all that are captured in the KPI. Please, this is not a nice to have. This is something we are going to hold ourselves accountable for. As he holds the meeting with the leaders at various levels, this is the checklist. This is the checklist. Impact can be measured. Are we together? Impact can be measured. I know of churches that can tell you this year we're going to win 5,000 souls. 5,000 souls is a target. 5,000 souls. Just drive out of your church on Sunday morning around 10, 11 a.m. Right? Just one day, just excuse yourself. Just drive out. That's where you will know that even with the multitudes of churches around, there is still a lot of work to do. I left my church one time. I was going to drive to another church to minister. And I passed through a marketplace and I told the person with me, I said, what? On a Sunday morning? The market was bustling. There was traffic there, everything. I said, wow, look at this. This is souls. This is souls. Pastor Remy said, look, you know, all this, when there is fire on the altar, they will do what? They will come. So impact can be measured. Impact can be measured. And we are going to measure it going forward. So in conclusion, as you put this program together, don't do it in isolation. That's another thing we need to correct. See, God told me. I hear you. I'm not doubting that God told you. But can you be humble enough to get some people involve. Get some people involved. Let us not make it normal to announce from the altar. God told me, tomorrow we are going to start 3 days fasting and prayer. Don't make it normal. Don't make it normal. You see, sometime in the zeal and in the context of trying to sound spiritual, we are actually causing a lot of opposition to what we're trying. It doesn't take away the fact, you say, look, you call the leaders. You know, as the program was going on, the Holy Spirit laid this in my heart. So, what do we think? I can tell you this. When people are properly trained and have been matured over the years, I can tell you, one or two people in that list will tell you, Pastor, you are on point. That burden has been in my heart. That's it. I called a sister recently, and mature sister, and I was, you know the way pastors sometimes, you want to hit somebody, you start by saying, you know, great are the mercies of God, is ever loving, ever caring. I was doing like that. He said, Pastor, I know where you are going. He said, I know where you are going. He said, the Holy Spirit has been dealing with me on the. I said, that's exactly where I'm going. That the Holy Spirit led me to speak that word of rebuke to her. And I was like, okay, I told her, I said, I want to see you. I said, Pastor, okay, can I do that? I said, no, later, you know. There was time, but I thought I wasn't prepared. But prayerfully, the Holy Ghost was already dealing with her on that issue. So when I came, I thought we were going to have like 2 hours of discussion. 25 minutes, we're done. Are we together? Let's not tell lies on the pulpit. Don't use the altar and your position to intimidate and harass people. A man of God came to preach in our church many years ago, 2008 or whatever. And then, powerful ministration, everything. He was a single brother. Let me finish. And then he went to one of our sisters. He said, Thus says the Lord, you are my wife. Amen. So the sister ran to me. I said, I thought you have accepted to brother Zuzu. He said, go and tell him, Thus says the Lord, you are not my husband. Because this person is already engaged to somebody. I know that. Now, what the pastor would have done is to come to us, who are the assembly pastor, say, that sister, I think God, don't go there. He has already been taken. Are we together? He's been taken. You know, that's what we call spiritual intimidation. Listen, I know what I'm talking about. There are so many things that are very common in Christ's literature. Now, see, do you know that the people that crucified Jesus were the people who were meant to say, this is the person we have been talking about? But because they don't know that God has moved on, they were still holding on to the past, to the extent that they thought they were serving God by saying, crucify Jesus. Now, why am I saying this? There are things that we need to revisit as CAC. And God is going to depend on us to look at those things. Let's not embrace disorderliness in the name of the move of the Spirit of God. Number one. Number two, I'm rounding up now. Number two, preparation is key to having impact-driven program. Preparation is key. 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 There are some programs that if I mention them, some of you in your plan for this year, you have already targeted that you will be in that program. Why? Because over the years, that program has sustained impact, unmistakable impact over the years. If I mention the name, some of you are already saving money to travel far to attend that program. Let me tell you what goes behind the scene for those programs. There are some of those programs for 6 months, group of people are fasting. You don't know about it. What you will do, you go and copy the program. You copy and you paste. You did not know what went behind the scene. You do not know the sacrifices. You do not know the revelation that go with it. Have you asked yourself the question, why is it that every time that program is called, the moment you get to a point and say, right now, the Spirit of God is going to move, it is not trial and error. It has been rehearsed in the place of preparation with the Holy Spirit. Young leaders, preparation. If there's anything to learn from our fathers, it is preparation. Don't stumble into the altar. Prepare for the altar. Spend time. Spend time. Spend time. Spend time. Spend time to prepare. You can make impact. I can make impact. Anyone can make impact. If you and I and anyone is willing to pay the price. And may God grant us grace to pay those prices in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you very much.